Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable, the podcast where we answer your veterinary-related questions while having some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. And if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, let us know. We are really hammering home.
As you can tell.
Wait for it. Oh, no. I got my magic bag, baby. Magic it bags in the house.
Wow.
No, no one look. You can't look inside the magic bag.
It's an interesting
I gotta find
bag.
It.
Well, the bag's camo, so you can't see it anyway.
I brought Thor's hammer.
Oh my gosh.
I thought it was
that thing is so cute.
Hammer home.
I thought it was gonna be like an inflatable one.
Is that like
it's from like one of those action figures.
Oh my gosh. It looks like a pretzel.
It's Thor's hammer. Isn't that what I said?
That's amazing.
Do it
on the wood.
I didn't know what I said.
Do it over there.
Ridiculous.
Hammer home those reviews. Let's hammer them home, baby. Bring them. Don't hammer it. Don't hammer the stand.
You can
okay, so duck ball.
It legit looks
know.
Like
it's a
pretzel
bent.
On
listen
a stone or a marshmallow.
Should I throw it and see if it comes back to me?
Oh.
It's not a boomerang.
Throw. I want to see how heavy it is.
Have you guys not seen the Marvel movies? Yes, he does. He throws his hammer and it comes back.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Throw it to me. I
want to
see how heavy it is.
Does.
Oh, God.
Is it
piece
Liam?
Of plastic.
Is it Liam or Chris?
Wow.
Chris. Does he come with it?
No, he doesn't
That'd
come with
great.
It.
That'd be great.
Sometimes
there
Chris
is no Marvel superhero. Oh. Okay. All right, so hammer home those reviews. Duckball, tell us where we're at in terms of number of reviews.
We didn't gain any on Apple from last time.
What
okay,
the
listen,
heck?
This is what I thought. I thought of after we had done the peanut butter commercial.
Yeah.
Devin needs to be lathered in peanut butter. She has to be laying on the ground with her scrubs all, you know, not like naked or anything. I'm just saying like with her scrubs on. Peanut butter on her arms and her face. She has to lay on the ground and then we release the dogs.
Oh. That's actually really
she
funny
would get
too.
Mauled.
Yeah, it would be great.
Get bit.
Oh, she's not going to get bit.
No,
she's just going to get licked.
Before that,
to death.
Let's all just throw marshmallows at her so they stick and then put her on the ground.
Okay.
What if we just like cause a dog fight in front of her?
Okay.
Well, we'll
now
take
listen.
Dogs that aren't food aggressive.
Yeah, they're going to be friendly dogs like Moose and Quill and.
Can I cover my face?
Miles and Winnie.
Miles and Winnie and
just
they all
for my
get
safety.
Along, right?
They have
your
to
face.
All get
yeah,
along.
We'll get you a helmet.
We can get you a helmet.
Great.
That's right. Okay, so that's
one
idea.
Covered in peanut butter.
For what Demi can do, we got to get to. What did we say we had to get to?
The milk mile. Oh, 100.
100.
Oh, we have the milk mile. We have now Devin covered in peanut butter.
Yeah, and eating on the stupid food.
And yeah, eating the dog food.
I really like the dog
food.
Peanut butter and dog food.
No.
And marshmallows.
No,
all on
the
other.
It's a lot. All on your body.
That's
but hey, we are at the 40th Spotify. We're at 133.
40 was 2 weeks ago, people.
Backwards. 133 on Spotify.
Sorry.
40 on Apple.
Okay, yep.
I don't
we need
know
to get
what the
to
goals
what?
Were.
100.
I think it's 100
on Apple.
100 on Apple.
We don't. I don't think we really.
Because
I mean,
remember
care
saying,
about Spotify,
I know we have 60 followers. I know we can get 60 comments.
Yeah, we didn't get any.
And we didn't get any. Zero.
We got to be better. We got to be
well,
better.
Well, Devin had a good point. Maybe they love her too much and they don't want to see her suffer.
Ooh.
Because we clearly, these punishments are not nice.
Okay, good point.
Devin's fan base coming to her rescue.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's like the Swifties, but for Devin.
I don't know what they call it.
What
the Devies.
The Devies.
The fortune cookies.
Oh, the fortune cookies.
That's my
fortune
cookies.
Ooh,
so
the
named.
Fortune cookies.
Wow.
I like that.
The fortune cookies for night. Okay. I don't even
well,
know what I just said.
We'll see if people show up.
Let's see if they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was rough.
All right. Introduce yourself, ladies.
I'm Courtney. I am a technician. And that's all I got.
I'm not an artiste.
Boring.
Hit the fail button. I don't have it.
I don't have it.
He took away the fail button.
Why'd you take it away? I always use
he
it.
He needs us.
He's rough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sad.
That's the fail.
There we go.
Okay, good job, Courtney.
He's going to dig it out of the box.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know anything. Literally anything.
I braided my hair today.
Wow, it looks beautiful.
Nice.
See, there
awesome.
You go.
Fantastic. There you go.
People don't know if they're not watching.
Oh, I did my own nails at home. I got a gel kit and I did
Ooh.
My own nails.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's exciting. That'll save you money.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The whole thing was like $30 and a normal gel set is like $60 at
wow.
a salon.
And they look good.
Okay, there's my fun thing.
They look great.
Thanks
for taking 30 minutes.
Thanks.
And they match your sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I'm Devin Fortune, and I'm a assistant tech in training.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, update everybody on your pharmacy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It was farm. My
what?
It was what?
Wasn't it just farm?
Yep.
Not pharmacy, farm.
Is anybody here?
They can't hear that on here.
That must be the ghost.
There's something meowing.
Oh, get the tissues.
Just for all you listeners, if you didn't watch the last one, watch it.
That was personal.
As an update, Devin got really bothered by the fact that there have been cat ghosts in this hospital. And so
you can say emotional.
Dr. King. Yeah, she got emotional. She cried. Just played a cat meowing in the background and gave her tissues. That is actually fantastic.
Is this supposed to be a cat? Because it looks like a wild animal.
Looks like an expensive
just
cat.
Just to protect your ears so you don't
oh my gosh. Why do you have these?
On this podcast.
Those are for you.
Those are for you.
Sons.
I know. I had to buy those because clearly I don't have.
That is fantastic.
There you go. Now you don't have to worry about hearing those scary sounds.
What? yes. My pharmacy final. I got my grade back. My proctored final. And I got a 99.
So you just missed the one that you told us?
Well, I thought that I got one wrong and then I got one vitamin wrong, but they won't let me see what I got marked down on, so I don't really know what I got wrong.
Okay.
But I'm happy.
But you got a 99. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty good.
It's always annoying though, like when you miss one.
Especially good job. Pharmacy.
Thanks.
So. I'm Ashlyn Duckwall. I'm a veterinarian. I'm just trying to make it through the day without coughing. And it's not working.
You're doing pretty good.
You're doing great so far.
Okay, thanks.
I've got things for you, too.
Just got a cold. Residual cold. Yes!
Everybody should take some.
I'm being one-upped on magic bag.
Defense. Yes.
Take some of that.
Devin has gotten her magic bag privileges revoked.
Immune defense.
By me.
And cough drops. Your other...
Yes! You know I love surprise gifts.
There you go. See,
those are the
that.
Best kind of gifts.
Okay, thank you. I just got some cough drops, which is appropriate for why I said what I said.
Excellent.
We're doing it. I'm here.
You're
That's
here.
All that matters.
And your butt's in the seat.
That's right.
I get earmuffs and a ghost. Duckwell gets cough drops. I can't wait to
It's not time for mine yet.
No,
or maybe
no,
I just don't get anything.
I just can't wait to see.
I'm Emily King, Dr. Emily King. And I was in charge of the magic bag today.
Yep.
And you're doing phenomenal so far.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome sauce.
She's doing amazing.
See? Is that supposed to be a meow?
Yeah, I think so.
Again, for all those not watching and listening, Courtney is holding up a stuffed cat.
That does not look like a cat.
It looks like an alien, and she's pushing the button.
Oh, okay. Stop it.
I hope that
I'm going to have nightmares.
That is
I gave
quite
you the
creepy.
Head bumps for a reason.
That the does look very scary.
Oh, my God. Sounds like come out of that thing. You're not normal.
All right. If you could replace the handshake, what quirky greeting would you invent?
Ooh.
Courtney. Welcome to, or Devin, whoever.
I don't have anything. The hand snail.
Oh, okay, what's the hand snail? I love hand hug.
We start as a fist.
Hand hug.
I'll do the snail part. Okay.
Okay, now do mine.
Hand turkey?
No.
Oh.
No, I like that one. Hand hug.
Oh. No, it has to be opposite hands.
Oh.
Oh,
you like pouping.
Oh, my gosh. Those are really dorky. Okay, nobody should do those. If you watch, don't ever do those.
Am I talking loud?
Yes. Okay, wait. Where did you come up with those?
Life.
Oh, my gosh. Those are actually real things. Those are things people actually do.
You've never done a hand hug?
What would you do?
No.
Do you want to experience your first one with me?
No.
Why not? It'll change your life.
It'll make you feel, you have to hold it for 30 seconds to make yourself feel happier.
We have hand sanitizer.
I'm not contagious anymore.
Listen, there is something about oxytocin being released when, that's why people, athletes give high fives because, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say you have to hug for 45 seconds.
Yeah, because that's the
that's a really long hug.
Feeling or the, not drug.
Endorphin.
Thank you. Or something that's released when you do that. And so then that forms bonds and it creates trust.
Fun fact of the week.
What's your quirky thing?
Mine would be more like a
handshake.
Like a full on. Oh.
Yeah, that.
Wow. Okay. Knock someone out. Yeah.
With movements. Some punches there.
Yeah. It would be like that. It would be like one of those like.
Hey, well,
passed out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We are on one today.
Did you snort?
It's these stupid earmuffs.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
If animals could talk, which would be the rudest? The giraffe, because it's always looking down on you.
Okay.
Somebody read these questions beforehand.
I had.
No, I literally thought that as soon as I read that, I was like, the giraffe. Because it's always
like
the
logic behind that.
She's crying.
Well, my first one was basic. Do you want a tissue?
Yes. What was the first one?
It was just a cat because they're always like they're so judgmental. But then I looked it up because I was just curious what other people had to say, and they said seagulls because they're already rude. And I kind of like
seagulls.
Yeah,
they steal.
They
are.
They have no respect for anything.
Yes,
at all.
They are. It's all about them.
But I'm sticking with cats. But that's how cats are too.
Feel bad for them. They're just trying to survive.
They can fly wherever they want to be.
A couple years ago on the beach, there was a one-legged seagull, and we just kept feeding him French fries.
And he was fighting the other ones for the French fries. He did pretty good.
That's sad, but he only had one leg.
What's your opinion? I mean, I'm not really thinking like a lot of animals. I think cat, though.
Yeah.
I said sloth.
They're the rudest?
Well, because they don't even have like passing them by. They're moving to.
I don't. It would take them like 7 years to even say something.
Saying out somebody like you.
Throwing up the middle finger would take 10 years. Or the thumbs down just very slowly.
They're mad because everybody's moving faster than them. Yeah. So I thought they'd be the rudest.
It would keep me on the edge of my seat if they're going like this. And you're like, is it going to be thumbs up? Is it going to be thumbs down? Oh, it's going down. It's going down. Aww.
Oh, God.
Interesting.
That's good stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Let's all do a whole episode where we just ask each other questions.
Okay.
I'm all down. Or, I don't know. I'm for it.
Quick. I didn't get a present.
It's coming.
You got a cat.
You played with your kitty. Were there?
All right. Case collections. Let's hear what you guys have.
It vibrates.
It's okay, Corey, you go purring. First.
Okay.
No, it does vibrate.
It's purring.
Don't cry. Here, give me the vacuum. Let's put it over here. Okay. Anyway, case collections. So we had an 11-year-old neutered labradoodle. He presented for not acting like himself.
Oh, boy. Someone's got to take the batteries out of that.
Give me that cat. I'm going to give it some GABA.
Sedate it.
He presented for not acting like himself. He was constantly pacing at home, yet lethargic. He was drinking a lot of water, more than he usually does. He refused his breakfast as well as any kind of treat, which is very unlike him because he's never missed a meal in his life. He did vomit once, but otherwise his stools were normal, everything like that. So we started with some workup diagnostics. So first we did blood work that showed mild neutrophilia, azotemia, and mild hyperglobulinemia. I'm not good at saying that word. His USG was 1008. His chest rads were unremarkable. We did do an abdominal ultrasound because at this point we were kind of just looking for anything. And that was pretty unremarkable. We found an incidental splenic mass, but that was not causing his symptoms that he presented for. And then he did have a temperature of 104.2, which is extremely high, not normal. And so we were kind of going through the list of what could possibly be going on. And one of the first things that comes to mind is a tick-borne disease or virus. But the owners did not want to do that at that time. So we did not do that PCR. And then on exam, he was very, very weak and couldn't hold himself up for very long. His eyes were also sunken in. So after discussing everything with the owner, and like I said, they didn't want to do the tick-borne panel, we decided to just treat for a fever of unknown origin. So what that included was hospitalization on IV fluids. We did a IV antibiotic, which is Unicin, and then we gave him Serenia. We did multiple doses of each medication, and we kind of just continued to check his temp, make sure it was going down. The first day he was here, I don't think it really moved much. I think it went actually up a little bit and then started to drop, but it was never normal that day. And then the next day, it did start to drop a little bit more and kind of go into the normal range. But he was still, I think he normally runs high, but I think when he left, it was in like the 102.3 or 4 range, which is technically normal, but it's high on normal. So like I said, after he was here on fluids, he started to improve. He kind of perked up a little bit. He started eating for us. And so therefore he was eating. So we felt comfortable sending him home on oral meds. And so the owners took him home. Like I said, he got better at home progressively. He started eating, acting normal, playing with his toys, things like that. So I think he was here for almost a full 2 days. Is that right? Yeah. He was here for 2 days. He went home on the second day towards the end of the day. So he went home on December 28th and he actually came back on January 1st for a splenectomy due to that incidental splenic mass that we found. And now he's doing fantastic.
Which came back as a negative, well, not negative, sorry, benign hematoma on the spleen. So with those, it unfortunately is 50-50, but they still all have a risk of rupturing. So owners are very proactive, which I agree because it was pretty big.
Yeah.
And we took it out when we felt better. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing with him was fever of unknown origin. It could be really anything. And so I did discuss with the owners, like, going down that rabbit hole of diagnostics, which is not wrong. But for him, there was no history that would lead me towards doing one test over the other. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of agreed to focus the finance and just commitment of treatment or to treatment to get him feeling better as opposed to knowing the why. Mm-hmm. And because he was responding, that was also a good sign of what we were doing was working. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't working, then yeah, we would go back to that discussion of diagnostics.
Yeah. But he's one of our frequent flyers. And when he came in that day, I actually went and picked him up because his owners were out of town. And he wouldn't even get out of my car, which is very weird for him. And like Dr. Duckwall walked back to treatment and didn't even recognize him. That's how dumpy he was.
Yeah, he didn't look like himself.
He felt bad. But he's all better now. Yep, he's great.
That.
So
treatment is also a way... what am I looking for?
Like of diagnosing him?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. That's kind of how we approached it. So.
Yeah.
He felt better.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I think there are so many instances. I think we've talked about it before too, where like you're working up something else and you find something else and it's like kind of like a blessing in disguise.
I agree.
And you can, actually the more pressing problem is the secondary thing that you find just because the dog or cat came in for something else incidental.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so it's pretty cool that.
Yeah. I feel like that happens a lot with splenic masses. Yeah. Not a lot, but I mean, unless they're ruptured, you don't really, or no, unless they're about to rupture, I mean, you don't really find them.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason to just do an abdominal ultrasound for fun.
Right.
So I think, yeah. So I'm really happy because I think it was 6 centimeters or 6 millimeters, something like that.
It would have been 6 centimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it's just fascinating. It's just fascinating how often that happens where, and you know, to Duckwall's point, you don't know when you're looking on ultrasound because hematomas and hemangiosarcomas can be destructive in nature. Mm-hmm. So you don't know which one it is. Mm-hmm. But they're what we call ticking time bombs. So eventually it's going to cause a problem.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's much better to be proactive while the animal's in a good place physically to be able to do surgery, remove the problem, and then they can move on about their, because they can live without their spleen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, like if the animal's healthy enough, take it out. That's not a problem. So then you don't have to just sit there and wait for something bad. I mean, something bad might happen. So.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, he's all better now. Yeah. Yay.
That's awesome.
Okay, I can go?
Yeah, go for
it. Okay, so this is my cat. He is a 6-year-old domestic short hair, and he's kind of had like chronic reverse sneezing for most of his life. So it started in 2020, December of 2020, so 3 years ago. He just started reverse sneezing out of nowhere. I brought him in. And then we did a round of doxycycline and started him on lysine powder. And then he improved on the doxycycline. And he lasted like a few months with it out of his system. But then his reverse sneezing came back summer of 2021. So I brought him back in. We did another round of doxy and then recommended a sedated oral exam to look for polyps. So he, same thing with the doxy, he improved, lasted a little while. Brought him back in. We ended up doing a core, so a dental procedure, and then just looked for polyps there. And we did not find any. So from there, I'm kind of a crazy cat mom and I wanted to do everything. So no polyps. So we went forward with thoracic radiographs to look for asthma or any changes. No changes, no asthma. So I did a upper respiratory PCR panel on him, and that all came back negative.
Okay.
So after trying so many different things, because I just really, it wasn't affecting his quality of life at all, but it was bothering me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And he would like sound congested, so I just wanted to make sure it was fine. But we started him on Cyclovance. He's probably been on it for like a year now. He's doing wonderful. Like I gave it to him consistently for probably a month. And then I slowly weaned him off of it. And now I only have to give it maybe once a month. Like if he starts flaring up and reverse sneezing, I'll give it a couple doses in a row. But
So you think it's allergy related?
Yes.
Then? Yeah.
Yeah.
So rhinitis, like just secondary to allergies.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So my allergy kiddo, little kitty.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I'm glad that we finally figured it out.
Well, you know, and what you did was rule out all those other things.
Oh, yeah. All the it always makes you feel better, though, to know that there's not something more serious going on.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool.
Yeah.
And so how often do you have to use the Cyclovance?
Probably once a month.
Oh, okay. So not very often.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to flare up, like, during certain seasons. Because the first time I brought him in for it was December. And then, like, it was the same thing in the summer. So it's not, like, only bad during spring or fall.
Right.
It's just kind of... So it's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe it's something in the house.
I know.
Maybe he's allergic to your other cat.
Maybe.
Maybe he's allergic to me.
Could be.
Too bad.
Sticking that's right. With me. Exactly.
Got a whole lot together.
Too bad, Walter.
Walter?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Did you talk about sneezing?
Yeah, I was reverse sneezing. And I was doing great on Cyclovance.
That's so good.
Yes.
It's good because some cats don't do as good. So.
Yeah. I was telling them I only have to give it like once a month now.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. See, that's a happy story with that disease, because I've had a couple kiddos that just, it's chronic, the infection. It's the secondary infections they get.
Yeah.
That is just really annoying. So,
yeah, he's doing wonderful.
No, Walter.
Okay, I'll go next. I was going to give everybody an update on the cat that I spoke about, I think, last podcast, where the cat had, it was a young cat that had pleural effusion. And by that, we mean free fluid in his chest. And so that cat, unfortunately, succumbed to the disease because he can't keep tapping the cat's chest to provide relief. And so, and at that time, the owners didn't have the means to continue with the treatment or diagnostic process. Right. So we ended up euthanizing him. But as we were talking about that case, Courtney brought up the fact that we've had a handful of cats in the clinic because we assumed that cat probably had FIP. It's the most common differential in a 7-month-old cat with pleural effusion.
Mm-hmm.
So then we were talking about treatment options for cats with FIP. And I think on the last podcast, we mentioned the Facebook group, the FIP Warriors, the Facebook group. And then you mentioned that you have a cat, right? Somebody has a cat, or you saw on...
I saw on social media.
Social media, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a cat, or a lady, so her cat, I think it's like between 6 and 8 months old, and he was diagnosed with FIP, and they did all the conservative treatment, everything just to make him feel better, and the vet she was going to at the time was just like, hey, there's really nothing more we can do, which is, I mean, that's usually the case with FIP. You do as much as you can and keep the animal comfortable and whatever. So they did that for a long time. And the mom, like, I mean, this cat was just like lateral. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't eating. He looked horrible. And they were like, okay, you're eventually probably going to euthanize because the disease is just going to get to him. And this lady was like, nope, I'm not doing that to my cat. So she went and she did her research. She did find the FIP Warriors Facebook page. And she got the, there's a drug I think that they talk about on there. She ended up getting a dose of it. I think she gave a few doses maybe. And her cat is completely healthy and he no longer has FIP. I mean, all of his blood works normal. He's eating again. He's playful. He's acting like a kitten. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Good.
One of our doctors also at the clinic has used it for two kittens that had FIP. And this drug doesn't have a name. It's like a letters and numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but it's like, I don't know, like IG5323. You know, it's something like that, basically. Like, it doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
But it also isn't sold in the United States, right?
I legitimately don't even know where people get it.
So the Facebook page, the FIP Warriors can get a hold of it. And so then that's why those are the people that are helping folks with cats with FIP. But we were in our doctor's meeting and we were talking about remdesivir, which is used in people for coronavirus. And there are some consultants that are using that now for FIP because now that it's FDA approved, now we could use it off label in animals. So there are some clinicians that are pulling that because the other product is not FDA approved. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to get a hold of. Whereas this one, now that it's FDA approved, if your distributor can get a hold of it, then potentially that could be a product that could be used in FIP.
Are we seeing improvement? Is there much success with the treatment?
I think it's not brand new, like from the standpoint of, just, you know, it's just because it was on emergency use only for people.
Okay.
So we couldn't get a hold of it.
Right.
And so then once it's FDA approved now, I think if you can get it through your distributor, then you could use it off label.
I'd be interested to see how it works.
Yeah. So Venn, I think, had information on the dosing and they were talking about it on Venn. So that's what we were talking about in the doctor.
Still a risk to doing either one, but honestly, it's better than the alternative that unfortunately these kitties don't really, it doesn't end well.
Well, you have no other, I mean, there's no,
that's
nothing to do.
Yeah, you can
do anything.
Do what you can.
Yeah. So
I do have a case. I was going to talk about a dog named Charlie. She's a 2-year-old lab mix, and I saw her a couple weeks ago for hair loss, just essentially just diffuse alopecia on her limbs, her belly, all four limbs. And she had had an episode of this back in the summer and saw a different doctor here and was worked up for allergies and ended up responding. They tried Apoquel. She didn't tolerate it GI-wise, and so then they switched to Cytopoint. And it had been some times through that process. And so then she got the Cytopoint. Her hair was coming back. She wasn't like overtly pruritic or even licking a lot or anything though. And so she had responded to 2 doses of Cytopoint and then kind of went on her way. So then it started happening again just 2 weeks ago. And again, nothing in her history that's like allergies, is screaming allergies. She's on prevention. She's on Simparica Trio each month. So that helps minimize my concern for parasites and things like that. So the pattern of it is very interesting because truly her hair is flaking off, but there's no redness. There's not scaling. There's not like pimple type bumps anywhere. Again, she's not overly itchy or anything. So it looked a lot like maybe a follicular dysplasia, which is like an umbrella term for these different types of diseases or dysplasias of the hair follicle or the skin of the hair or the, gosh, the life cycle of the hair, if you will, things like that. So that I have that on my list. And then hormonal. So we checked her labs for thyroid or maybe Cushing's type changes on her blood work and everything was normal. I still can't rule out thyroid, I guess, because we didn't do the full detailed thyroid panel. But anyway, that's still on my list too. So we ended up just jumping straight to biopsies because mom's in the medical field. And honestly, that's our best, quickest way to start to get a diagnosis. So we just performed those on Monday. I got samples and kept the hair so that the pathologist could look at it. So to be determined on what's going on. I think a lot of times we, when it's just like a cosmetic thing mostly and the dog's not super uncomfortable, we may kind of jump along to different therapeutics or supplements or supportive care first. But I think I'm excited because we're jumping right to the biopsies. So
the owner said she did try melatonin, but it was only for like a week. And she was like, you know what, screw it. Let's just.
Well, she did come in being on melatonin since the last episode. And she was also on Benadryl for reverse sneezing. But that was it. So,
So she's been on melatonin for a hot minute. It's not doing anything. Her hair is still falling out.
Interesting. That'll be fun to hear what the dermatohistopathologist said.
And I hope we get like a direct answer. We don't have to go.
We send it to Texas.
Send it to Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're out there and you're sending in samples, send them to Texas.
Yes. They're great.
They're great. Yeah. They're awesome.
It's very helpful. And pictures and whatever else you can send.
Yes. I sent pictures too. So we'll see.
Okay, those are great cases.
Good case it.
Speaking of great cases, I gotta get out my.
Oh my!
Good lord!
Oh my!
Your bag is giving birth. Oh, that's Courtney's helmet. Put it on. You're all cat. Courtney, here.
No, you wanted your gift.
You'll be the mother hen.
There's a bottle.
Courtney, your case was king case. There you go.
Really?
Oh,
here you feed your kitten.
Feed your kitten.
Is this supposed to go on my head?
What is happening?
She's not even.
We have a fake
that
crown.
That is just what the cat came
she doesn't
in. You could definitely use it as a Viking helmet. Sure. Why not?
She doesn't deserve it. She just
we can go into
it.
Wool.
Okay. I'll win.
That heads will be protected.
Cats are the rudest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I'm.
You and my I mean, we just gave two little I'm girls like some
toys.
Barbies to play with. And they're
oh
just
my
like,
gosh.
Who
okay.
wants the earmuffs? Wear them with your helmet.
Oh, that
it's
would keep your
helmet on. It's a full ensemble and feed your kitten. Your
oh
ghost cat.
Gosh.
Okay, here we go. Let's move on.
This is what girls in school are
okay.
doing.
Okay, go ahead, Duckwall.
All right. Hiya, I'm a third-year vet student at the University of Glasgow. which is amazing in Scotland. Very cool. Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous.
Scotland.
I am from New Jersey, back in the States, and am here for a school. Why not travel while I get my dream degree? That's genius.
So amazing.
I have been listening to your podcast and following you on TikTok since I started vet school. I love your podcast so much, and I can relate them to my classes, which has been helping me understand the content better. Y'all make me so excited for this career, and I'm so grateful for your podcast. So I have a question for the group. In the UK, you have to, in all caps, sedate any animal for radiographs. Does not matter if it's an emergency or the age, you have to do it, as humans are not allowed to be within 2 meters of the primary x-ray beam, meaning patients are held into position with tape and sandbags. My question is, what is your opinion on this? How would you feel about sedating or putting under GA any and all patients that need a radiograph? At Michelle
Sicily's. That's what I'm going
so
with.
I'm so sorry, yeah. Michelle.
That's great a name. Freaking great question, though.
That is such a great question. A question. So unique.
So I have. I was thinking about this question. I was like, oh, back in the day, digital X-rays are new, right? New like in terms of
newer
years.
Yes.
So when I was in school, they definitely sedated every single patient for x-rays. And that was the protocol. Everything had to be sedated.
They did it for me too when I was in school, now I think about it.
And I don't know if part of it was, I think there's lots of reasons why people do it or why that's the recommendation, which would include things like better positioning, fewer x-rays, and so then fewer people exposed to x-rays are probably the biggest things.
I think that's hands down.
If you're
down
learning
the best.
How to position, it'd be less stressful for the pet.
And then, you know, when you're taking, and the fewer the number of x-rays you have to take to get it correct was very advantageous when we had to use film. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, we had to use film, and you had to send the film through a processor.
Yeah.
And if you had to do that 15 times.
Yeah,
that's
a lot.
It was a lot of freaking film. So they're like, you know, get your animal positioned correctly. And so the only way to do that is to have the patient sedated. So
yeah. I think when I was in school, I think the biggest thing is, one, it's also good for learning. I should say that with when you're in school for the students, just on where to collimate, where to, how to position them, things like that. Is probably
not having a moving animal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that, do you need something? Like maybe
she was just waiting for you to cough.
A little bit of mineral water with a twist of lime that's carbonated that might tickle your throat.
Topo Chico. A twist of lime.
Does anybody else need anything?
Well, Topo Chico.
Do you need one?
Do you need a bottle?
It's only for coughing.
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never bought them, but they just caught my eye. And I was like, I wonder if this would help Duckwall.
I don't think this is twist.
Do you have a bottle opener?
Someone got some sharp teeth.
Someone help her. She's coughing. Okay.
I don't think it's twist off.
I think coming to the real world, it was like,
it's this twist of
oh my gosh, some of these animals are crazy. And of course, our lovely technicians are the ones who are positioning them and doing the x-rays. So it's like, I'm thankful that they're great to know like the level of stress, right? So the dog, it's too much or it's not safe for anyone, they'll call it and call us and say, we need drugs. Like we need something to calm them. But
so like luckily in here in the United States, we don't have like some
we don't have that rule.
Dog dependent, animal dependent.
And I don't think it's practical in the everyday sense because of the added cost.
Added cost was going to be the thing that I said too. Yeah, that you can't do that to every owner.
No, especially if the animal, like we have some great patients that will not care
at
all.
I've taken x-rays by myself on an animal before.
Yeah, yeah. So it's doable without it. And so then it's like, well, why are you taking x-rays? What's the health concern?
We're still
what is their age?
PPE, you know.
What'd you say?
We're still wearing personal protective equipment.
Yes. That is correct. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No, you absolutely do. But I still think the safest thing is to not be.
Right. Not be
not
there.
Be
there. When we have sedated patients, we don't even leave the room.
Right.
We're still in the room. Yeah. We're taking the x-rays.
Oh, because
she was saying to you have to be away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see.
Which I guess, for 2 seconds, it's fine.
But I mean, you walk around the door, push the button.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you tape the patient in then you walk around the door, push the button, walk back in, and then, you know, get the next film.
Yeah.
But it used to take so much longer.
There have to be patients that like it's not safe for them to go under sedation or GA.
I think at that point, then the x-rays probably aren't as important, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just, so case dependent.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad rule to have. I just don't think when you, especially when you come back to New Jersey and into the States, you're going to, I mean, depending on your clientele, probably realize it's
you won't have to do
necessary.
That. And, yeah, it's not necessary.
But
yeah.
then also it's going to add to your day and the time too. Like, can you be as efficient still by doing that? And
yes,
is the patient fasted? There's another risk there.
Right.
And I mean, I think at least for my team, our like if we have an orthopedic x-ray we have to do, we always sedate them.
Right.
Because the patient's usually painful and you need specific positioning. And so you just can't practically do that awake.
Yeah.
That's just not.
Any head stuff. Any, I mean, I think that it's, yeah, it's too hard. If the animal's moving at all.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
x-rays are blown.
Yeah.
I was also going to add, and when I was in college, which was like 4 years ago, we sedated every patient, taped them to the table, and had to process every film too.
Oh, yeah. You did have to process every.
We had a dark room.
Oh, my God.
Well, we still, so even you say back in the day, here, we just started getting the digital.
Well, yeah, but we didn't have to process them. We had like, we just put the film into the machine. We didn't have like a dark room.
You didn't have to.
Like, I had to put it through the thing, dip it in the thing, hang it up.
Yeah.
Like, we had a dark room.
Yeah. Like, it goes through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the film, you untake. So you go in a room, it's dark.
Yeah.
You open the cassette, you take the film out, you have to feed it into the.
And make sure it's the right way.
Make sure it's the right way. And it goes in.
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know.
It's like the process. Processor goes in the developer, comes out into the dryer, and then comes out on the back of the machine. And then you could put it up. And
I feel like I would want to avoid x-ray as much as possible.
You have to, but there's like a very faint, small red light. There wasn't ours. So you could see, you couldn't see. So you had to stand there for a second while your eyes got adjusted. So you knew where everything was. And like if you missed or messed up one step, you, oh my God.
Yeah, you got to go back.
Yeah, I had to do that. And that was only 4 years ago.
That's a nice skill.
IBC still has a dark room.
Great. No, it's not. It's like knowing the capitals now.
Yeah, what am I going to do with that?
That matters.
Well, that's what
I was
saying.
It does not matter. You can go look it up on your phone or your computer.
Yeah, there's like
1 in 3 seconds. Like, who cares if you know the capital of
Massachusetts?
You know the states?
No, I don't know. Probably know
all
of them.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona.
Arkansas.
Anyone know this song?
Yeah. Arkansas.
I'm trying to think. What is the capital of North Dakota? I think it
starts
with an R.
I don't know, but you know what I can do?
I think it starts
with
an R.
What is the capital of North Dakota? Siri, what is the capital of North Dakota? Still answering.
Siri,
she doesn't care.
What's the capital of North Dakota?
Bismarck.
Bismarck.
But see, but like the dark room, there's probably like 1 in 1 million clinics right now that have a dark room and you have to process.
I bet there's a lot.
Oh, you think so?
Absolutely. People are so cheap.
Yes, cheap. And just they, you know,
then I wouldn't work at those clinics.
Slow to change.
I would not work in those clinics then.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's our other advice, Michelle. When you get out and come back to Jersey, don't go to a clinic that has a dark room.
No. Get a clinic with digital
x-ray. When we got that digital x-ray machine here, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how we used to do it.
I don't know.
Because there would be like 10 to 15 minutes in between each film because we'd have to put it in the thing. I'm like, what did we do with the dogs? Just let them sit there? I don't remember.
I think man hours.
Maybe we had an extra person.
Yeah.
So why we held it. That might have been.
You had a lot of man hours.
That digital
extra
thing that we got.
So,
it's like Christmas
morning.
Did everyone share their opinion on the question?
I think so.
Okay, great question.
Courtney, would you like if every animal was sedated? You're the technician.
You're the technician.
It's case dependent. Okay. Because like sedation is so time consuming. And like I would not want to have to sedate every single animal that walked through the building that needed x-rays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not feasable.
Yeah.
So our opinion is we would sedate animals that are painful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Too wiggly. Mm-hmm. That you can't get accurate films.
Too aggressive.
Too aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And orthopedics, at least
and
for
orthopedics,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I would not want to sedate every animal. It sounds nice. It sounds like amazing that I could just lay an animal there, but that's
you still
a
have
lot.
To recover them.
Well, that's the thing. Is
it's
the
like
pre
a
and the
full hour
with the sedation.
Yeah. Like hour or longer, depending on how fast the patient wakes up. So no.
Okay. There we have it.
At least you can decide in the United States. So
that's right. Exactly.
You have the power.
All right, Michelle, keep after it. Great question.
Yes, you're almost there.
And thanks for listening.
And send us a picture of Scotland.
I was just going to say, send us pictures.
Send us pictures.
It's one of my dream places to go. It's
very cool.
So
very cool. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. Remember, send in those questions and be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at All Star Veterinary Clinic. If you enjoyed this episode or a previous episode, leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. We'll see you in a few weeks for the next episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
That was perfect.